Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, if you guys want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. If you're out and about, you're driving around, or you're listening on the app, whatever it is that you guys want to hit on, you know, one of the questions I didn't mention a little bit earlier, but just your thoughts on the comments Dr. Fauci had in regards to sports in general. If you feel a lot more positive that there could be sports based upon what he said at some point this summer. So 877-710-ESPN if you'd like to be a part of the Sliwa show. So, by the way, Twitter at Alan Sliwa. I was mentioning Kuz, and Kuz is probably one of the more polarizing players on this Lakers team. The expectations are most likely unrealistic. He hasn't been in the league long enough to where we have all this. I don't want to use the word data because that sounds too technical. But you just don't have enough experience of watching him and saying, "Oh, okay, well, I know what Kuz is going to do in this predicament, this situation," because we've already seen it. No, he's played for the Lakers for 2 years. Both years we didn't make the playoffs, and this year all of a sudden, we're expected to win an NBA championship, and Kuz was labeled as the third best player on this team, and I don't think it was fair, and I was one to label him as well. But I love what he said on First Take today. He talked about how learning behind AD and LeBron is so important to him. And here's the reality. The reality is Anthony Davis is 26 years old. He's in his eighth year in the NBA. He's top five in the league. LeBron is a living legend. And we've got to watch him, especially this year, throughout the entire season, do some amazing things. And it doesn't matter if he was in his prime or he's 35 years old. What he's done has been amazing. He just happens to be 35 years old. Kuz, I remember asking Coach Vogel this early in the season. I asked him something along the lines, is it a tougher role for Kuz because there's expectations on him to deliver, but he's also on a championship caliber team. There's got to be some kind of a balance. And he said all he wants to see from Kuz is winning plays. He didn't care about his stat line. He didn't care if he had 25 points. What he wanted to see was he making the right plays? Was he making the right decisions? This is team ball. If you play for the New York Knicks and you got no shot at an NBA championship, okay, it doesn't matter how many shots you put up. If you play for the Phoenix Suns and you have 35 points in a game, it might look good on a stat line, but your team is still on the bottom of the standings. We've had those years. We've had those years for 6 years in a row where individuals might have good games. Nick Young goes off for a game, or I don't know. You can name off all the different players that were playing for the Lakers over the last 6 years, and we didn't make the playoffs. It was irrelevant. It didn't mean anything. So for Kuz, it's an incredible learning experience for him. Incredible learning experience because he's not only playing with two of the top five players in the NBA, number one, but the second part of it is he's learning how to be a winner. He's learning how to play for a championship team and have meaningful games deep at the end of the season. So I love Kuz. I thought he had the right mentality when he talked about playing behind AD and LeBron, how great that is for him. He was asked about something fans don't know about LeBron behind the scenes. Here was his thoughts on that.
Man, he's just a good dude. Like you know, you see everything that he does, and I mean, it's not really fake. You know, he cares about his teammates. You know, he's always, you know, hitting a group chat with things, and even now, even when we're not playing, you know, you know he's a real person. You can talk to him anytime. You know, about situations, and you know, especially for me, just being a young player and you know, kind of idolize him when I'm growing up as one of my favorite mm-hmm. players, being able to play with him and really see what he does on a daily basis and really just pick things from him. You know, it's a once in a lifetime experience, and you know, that's how I kind of look at it, you know, outside of just him being, you know, my friend and, you know, just you know, one of the greatest basketball players, you know.
All right, last thing with Kuz is how he thinks the Lakers match up against the Clippers if that opportunity comes again this season where they face each other.
No, I just think, you know, kind of, you know, we match up pretty well. You know, both teams can kind of go big, you know, can go small. You know, star-studded players on both ends. You know, great role players. I mean, obviously, for sure. From a matchup standpoint, you know, it looked good on paper, and even when we played.
It seems so long ago that that game between the Lakers and the Clippers. But it's great to get – it's great to hear from some of the players. I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners out there too, you know, we're talking on a mic Monday through Friday and we're reporting on some of the stories. But for the most part, we're just giving our opinion. It's great to hear from some of the players. We've got a chance now to hear from Kuzma. We've got a chance now to hear from LeBron. Of course, Rob Pelinka was on with Mason in Ireland. So you're getting a chance to hear from some of these, you know, these main figures as part of the Lakers. So that's always great to see. All right, Lakers are down. We're down 9 right now. Down to the Boston Celtics, 45-36. Meta for 3. He misses. Rebound, Rasheed. Rondo's got the ball. Lakers down 9 in Game 7, 2010. I don't remember this exact moment, but this is not good. This is not good. How nerve-wracking. Down 11, Phil Jackson calls timeout. We have 36 points, 9 minutes and 45 seconds left in the third quarter. What are we doing? What are we doing? Mark Stein, who writes for the New York Times now, he had an interesting article. Jess, I know you sent this to me a little bit earlier today, but it's breaking down all these different 6 main topics right now with the NBA. And it's fascinating to me to see all these different articles about sports right now. You got to be as creative as you possibly can simply because of the circumstances. But one of the things that, you know, he put on here, and I'm going to go kind of line by line, his main points and facts that he had in his article. So one of the things that he pointed on there, firm declaration about the fate of the rest of the season is not guaranteed on May 1st. Adam Silver has already said, I'm going to stay on NBA here for a second. By the way, Nicole Rodriguez, Rosemary Academy, she'll be our senior shout out. That's coming up at 7:45. One of the things that Adam Silver said, the commissioner of the NBA, there's nothing really to address until May 1st. And he has also been adamant to point out that until more information comes out, there really are not too many decisions that can be made by the NBA. So Mark Stein writes in his article that do not expect the fate of the rest of the season on May 1st. Don't expect a decision to be made about if the NBA's got a full-out plan of what they're going to do if they start in June, if they start in July, or if they don't have a season at all. I feel like it's impossible to plan right now when it comes to all the leagues. You guys remember Mark Cuban, who's been more adamant. He's been in front of a lot of different microphones, whether he's doing work with TV or local news stations in Dallas. First, he said that he thought there could be a chance that there's basketball back in May. And I had hopped on. I said, man, I'd hate for him to give this false hope. At that time, it didn't seem like there's going to be basketball for a while. And then he said he feels like it could be June. This was more recent. I don't think that come May 1st, when Adam Silver has to make some type of a decision about the NBA, I think he's going to approach it the way he's been approaching it this entire time. We got nothing right now. And until more details come out, there's no need to give out all this information or to make false promises or to make it sound like he knows exactly what's coming. There's no purpose for that. He also, Mark Stein went in to say that the NBA should benefit from being able to study comebacks of major sports in other countries. That is one of the benefits that the NBA has. Windhorst has reported a ton about what's going on out in China. Jonathan Giovanni has done that as well. Adrian Wojnarowski, he's kind of followed what's going on in some of the other leagues. There's the Korean Basketball League. There's the Chinese Basketball Association. Right now we know this about the Chinese Basketball Association. What we know is that what was slated to be potentially a date to get back to playing basketball in April is now moved all the way to July at the earliest. So if you have that type of – hopefully this isn't the case, right? This is me just kind of spitballing here. If you have that type of scenario play out for the NBA, you're already a month and a half, a month and 3 weeks behind from when the Chinese Basketball Association shut down and postponed their games to when the NBA did. They did it on, I think, January 24th. NBA didn't do it till March 12th, March 13th, somewhere along those lines. So it is it's completely different, but can we learn a lot from other countries? No question about it. No question about it that this country, we're down 13, by the way, down 13, 8 minutes left to go in the third quarter. Can we learn a ton from what's happening with some of the other leagues? We can. And you know baseball is going to be watching what's happening in Japan. You know soccer is going to be happening, be watching what's happening in Germany. All of these leagues can learn something from other countries that are a little bit further ahead than where we are. And a little bit further ahead is basically what I'm referring to there is they got their leagues back or they're further along the COVID-19 pandemic than the States is. The last thing that I want to point out from Mark Stein's article, he says it will be a long, long time before basketball can be played in front of fans. Yeah, I don't question that one at all. I don't question that at all. And I think this goes way past just sporting events, festivals, concerts. By the way, what are all these, you know, what are all these venues going to do? Eric Garcetti said earlier today he was on CNN, but I think there was a leaked email that talked about how probably no sporting events or large gatherings, concerts until 2021. What is Staples Center going to do, right? Like, what are you going to do between now and 2021, which is 8 months away or 7.5 months away or whatever it is? What is SoFi Stadium that's just doing everything it can with its $5 billion investment to get football and concerts and everything else? What are some of the smaller venues going to do? The Hollywood Bowls? What's Dodger Stadium? What are all these major stadiums going to do? I have no answer for you, but I will say that it seems like it's going to be a long time before we have fans at games, and that's just part of the price to pay with this pandemic that we're dealing with. I don't want to personally go to a large sporting event. I really don't. It's not for me right now. It really, really genuinely is not for me. And I think there's a lot of people that feel the same way. And they probably will feel the same way until some kind of vaccine comes out. So great stuff from Mark Stein. Fantastic article in the New York Times. So if you get a chance to go go take a look at that. He continues to talk about other things as well. The fill-in basketball programming has flopped. So he gets into a number of different things. All right, Nicole Rodriguez, Rosemary Academy. She's our senior shout-out. She's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, we've been doing this for almost 2 weeks now. By the way, love doing this. And again, Chris, thank you for demolishing me on that promo there. All this week on 710 ESPN, we're shouting out senior students and giving them a senior spotlight on air. Tonight we have Nicole Rodriguez from Rosemary Academy. You still have time to nominate a classmate or yourself. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your name, school, and sport you play, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 senior shout out. Nicole, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing all right, doing okay. Thank you for coming on. So I got some questions for you. And first of all, congratulations on everything that you accomplished in high school. So I know this is unfortunate circumstances to kind of have your year cut short. But do I have this right? So were you playing varsity basketball as a freshman?
Yes, at Norco High School.
And then you made the freshman baseball team as well?
Yes.
I mean, what more can you do? I would have retired after my freshman year. I would have been done. I would have just stopped right there. What is your favorite sport between the two? Baseball, softball, basketball. What is your favorite sport?
Well, baseball is definitely my first love, but I've grown a lot of love for basketball over the years.
What position do you play?
In basketball?
Yeah.
I'm a shooting guard.
So you're a shooting guard. Is there a team you were growing up watching basketball wise? Are you a Laker fan? Are you another team's fan? Or who do you enjoy watching? Okay. All right. I got to double check. You know, I figured that was going to be the case. Who was your favorite player growing up?
Definitely Kobe Bryant, but also when I first started playing basketball, Steph Curry was on the rise, so I looked up to him a lot as well.
Well, do you have some Steph Curry in your game? I mean, are you out there just shooting well beyond the three-point line?
Yes, I do. I would think that my three-point game is definitely one of the things that is most outstanding about my game.
That's your strength? Yeah, that's your strength. By the way, Nicole, because you were growing up around that kind of Steph Curry time where he's coming up, do a lot of players play like that? Like, I feel like that's what I feel like the game is gone to that, right? Where a lot of them are shooting from the outside. Now you're taking as many threes as possible. But do you notice like a lot of your friends, as you guys were growing up, were a lot of players trying to be like Steph, that type of game?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think a lot of more players now are shooting more. I see that a lot more.
They're shooting a lot more threes, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so you won a Division I CIF championship title, is that right?
Yes.
What was that like? What was that experience? Just maybe you can tell listeners that are out there, just kind of that journey. Of course, that was probably a very, very tough accomplishment. What was it like, and what was it when you actually ended up winning?
Yeah, so it took a lot of hard work. You know, my team and I worked. That was our goal all season, was to win. You know, well, first was to win league and CIF, and then state, which we didn't win league or CIF, but pushing and working that hard to set those goals, and then definitely prepared us for our Division I state championship.
What are some of your best memories in high school outside of sports? What stands out to you?
Well, when I first came to Rosary, it was very different because it's an all-girls school. So I wasn't really expecting to bond that much with a lot of girls because it was so different. But I actually made a lot of good friends outside of basketball, which is really a good thing.
Is that are you guys all in touch with each other on a daily basis now, especially now that you guys can't see each other?
Yes, we are, through social media mostly.
So what's has it been pretty tough for you? I mean, how much are you missing just playing sports?
That's the thing I dread, like, every day. Even though I do get to play outside, I have a court outside, but it's just not the same playing with my teammates or at the gym just playing pickup games. It's a lot different.
Yeah, I would say for a lot of people too, just that simple thing like you never thought about. I was saying this, I think, last week. They're closing up a lot of these parks. First of all, they're closed. Or second, they're taking down the rims. And I'm with you on the basketball side of things. Like, there's nothing better than just going outside and just shooting some hoops. But when you don't get to play it with your friends, that's a tough one. And I'm sure not just for you, but for a lot of basketball fans out there. Okay, so what's tell me a little bit about your favorite subject in high school. What do you what's your GPA? Can I ask you your GPA in high school?
Yes, I think I finished last my junior year with a 4.0. But my favorite subject, I would have to say, is my Spanish class. I really like Spanish, but I'm not fluent yet. So, but hopefully one day I will be.
Okay, so you threw that casually out there, a 4.0, like it's no big deal. Yeah. That's a great accomplishment. That's amazing. That's great to hear. Okay, so what happens? What's your plans for after high school?
Well, after high school, I'll be attending Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. I'm sorry?
I said, look at you. That's incredible.
Oh thank you.
And then are you gonna play any sports there?
Oh yes, I have a basketball scholarship at LMU.
Nicole, you have a way of just very casually throwing in some of these very difficult things to accomplish. So a 4.0, a CIF Division I championship title, and then you're going to Loyola Marymount on a scholarship. That's incredibly impressive. And I want to thank you for taking some time to hop on the show, and I hope and wish you nothing but the best over at Loyola, all right?
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, you got it. There's Nicole Rodriguez from Rosemary Academy. What's going on here? Jess Curtis, how do you casually throw in? Yeah, it's got a 4.0. I'm just going to Loyola Marymount, which is a very difficult school to get into on a full ride for basketball. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. Boss moves.
Yeah, I don't throw around that I got a 2.98 GPA at CSUN and that I tell people that's a 3.0 because I round up. I don't tell people that. No
man.
Way.
Round it off. Uh-uh. No, you have to round that off. I'm with you on the round off, man. But that's each one of these students have had a completely different story. But I guess you could say the one thing that they all share, it's like they're all very comfortable hopping on the radio and telling their story. I love it. I love it. By the way, Lakers now down 56-51 to the Boston Celtics. 2 minutes left. Doc Rivers is complaining. Nothing has changed. And this is game 7 of 2010 on ESPN right now. Curtis, didn't you say this? Am I right or wrong on this? Didn't you say the Kobe Powell days is when you started watching some Lakers basketball?
Yeah, the glory days. That's when I really got into it because I was in high school. That's really when I just got
How old are you, Curtis? Basketball.
28.
You're 28. Jess, so, what are you, 28
I
as well?
I was in high school when that all went down.
Yeah, I'm 28 as well.
28 as well? Yeah, I'm always curious. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has their different – like, the Shaq-Kobe days for me – by the way, I was watching before then, the Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones. I loved that era, even though that team wasn't all that good. But it's always interesting to hear people. It's based upon their age, what their favorite era is. You guys know when I do Lakers talk, like Lakers talk is a perfect example. We take so many calls. When we're in the middle of the season too, it's completely different. If I say, you know, Shaq's the greatest center, he was the most dominating center, I'm going to get 5 calls from people that are 50 and over saying, yeah, you definitely didn't get to see Kareem. And by the way, the reality is I didn't get to see, you know, enough Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to say that he's the most dominating center ever. I just saw the Shaquille O'Neal that won 3 championships for the Lakers, and I knew nobody could stop him. But everybody has their different era, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and then you'd get the crowd who's even older, like Michael Thompson, saying, what are you saying? Wilt is the best player ever.
Yeah.
So it's all preference. It's all based on when you started watching it. I mean, in any conversation, for the most part, when you talk about the greatest of all time, there's really no wrong answer. There's very few sports where you can kind of say, you know, that this one player is the greatest of all time. I think the closest one, just out of the like top major sports, is Tom Brady. But even then, NFL is such a big team sport that you'd have to include like a bunch of other players in that conversation.
You know where it also falls along the line of is anytime you do anytime somebody talks about music, right? Like everybody says, oh, my era of music is the best era of music. Like they're all tied in together some shape, way, or form. It all comes down to what was the time that music was most important to you, or what was the era that you were watching sports, or maybe it was when you were growing up, but I feel like they all tie in together. All right, Lakers are down 4. So we're getting back into this game.
That was quick.
It's getting closer. We got halftime coming up next. Thank you to Nicole Rodriguez from Rosary Academy in Fullerton, California. Halftime coming up next day right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag, done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
I appreciate everybody that's tuning in. By the way, tomorrow morning, don't forget, 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ from 6 to 10, George Sedano from 10 to noon, Will Kane after that, Mason and Ireland from 3 to 6:30. I'll hop on at 6, do some crosstalk, and then Sliwa Show rest of the week. Real quick, so I'm going to plug this one. The Last Dance is on Sunday, 2 hours from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Right when it's done, Sedano and I will go live on ESPN Los Angeles on Periscope. So we'll just kind of talk a little bit about the documentary. I have no idea what to expect, but I just think this thing is going to be great. Jesse and Curtis are we're all here, fellas.
We are here figuratively.
Okay.
It's one way or another.
So this is what I wanted to explain for halftime, okay? So let me just kind of walk through. Last week, I go to Tommy Lamb. Tommy is runs our marketing and our promotions. So he's been doing it for a number of years at the radio station. Told Tommy, if you know, if we could start kind of working on a Sliwa Show logo, that would be fantastic. Start incorporating into social media and doing all that stuff, okay? And everything has been, you know, a lot of things that you might have had in mind prior to everything just kind of stopping. Everything changed, right? Like everything changed over these last 30-something days or so. By the way, do you guys hear the stuff in the background?
I was about to say, is
I do.
Okay, no,
you know where it's coming
here's
from?
The thing. I know what it is now. I know what it
thought
is.
Thought I was going
it
crazy.
Is, I think
mystery
it is
over.
I think it's a salute. It's a salute for those in the medical department. I think they're doing it in
awesome.
Different parts of the. I think they're doing it in different parts of the country. So that's what I think in New York they do it at 7 o'clock. I want to say in some different areas they do it at 7. Apparently here with my neighbors, I might as well just open the door. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. This is what happens. By the way, we can do that too for all the medical personnel that are out there making it happen. Salute to everybody that, by the way, it's not just the medical workers as well. It's, how about
everyone who was helping? I mean, the people who are in the grocery store, you know.
Yep. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. The people who are deemed essential and are out there, you know, working every day or every other day or every week, whatever it is, they're still going out there and they're working and they're trying to do their own part. It may
Bro,
not be big to you.
No,
but
they're
it's all collectively. It's yeah, 100% big props to all those people.
No, that's
you
a
shout
perfect
it.
Way to
you
put
shout
it.
It.
How funny is that? You could just hear it all in the background. You know, before
you hear it clean in the background. That's so funny.
It explains a lot though. At least we weren't going crazy the last couple of weeks hearing that.
I'm just letting it play now.
You should just go up with your headset and just be like, you know what? Here, tell us what we're doing.
Do a man on the street with them right now.
How great is that? You know how confused? Let me tell you something. You know how confused all my neighbors are? I guarantee you the dude upstairs is like, what is this guy doing from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock where
he's just talking to himself?
He has no idea. he has no idea what I'm doing every night at 6 to 9. But I've actually even had – like I had a neighbor one time knock on the window to say hello. I'm like, not now. Not now. They don't know. They don't know I'm – you know, they don't know we're live on, you know, ESPN radio across SoCal. But that's – for those who are just tuning in, the noise you hear in the background, if you hear anybody cheering or people hitting their pots and pans or whatever the case is – look it up. There's different parts of the country. They're doing this at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, where I think they do it for 3 minutes, by the way. It's not even like it's 60 seconds or something like that. They are giving their respect towards all those medical workers, all those grocery store workers. So that's the noise in the background. I want to get back to what I was saying. So Tommy Lamb, I tell Tommy, if we could start working on a logo. So Tommy says, okay, we are going to – he kind of got a little bit of my input. What do you think? Do you want this? Do you want that? Just a little bit of input. And I'm more of a simple person, so I told him, you know, the simpler the better. He said he's going to send it to corporate, Bristol, Connecticut, and they kind of put up – there's a theme for all the logos. They want you to stay within the theme. So right before Crosstalk today, I'm just, you know, just going on Twitter. And I have some notifications. I click on them. And all I see is Mason say leaked logo, and it says the Sliwa Show. I'm like, what the hell is this? Okay, like what is Mason doing? What is Mason up to? Right, and no, of course Mason's in his completely own world. I still don't know the storyline of Tommy taking the logo, sending them to Mason, and saying, Mason, you do what you want with this. Then I got Mason and Ireland for 15 straight minutes just to kind of come at me and say, it's the wrong show. It's Sliwa at sunset, or it's Sliwa after dark. It's not the Sliwa Show. And that's what I spent the first 10-15 minutes talking with Mason and Ireland on. So that's a little bit of the backstory. I love everybody that's chiming in on this, trying to give their version of a logo. And eventually we'll figure it out at one point or another. That's what I got.
Yeah.
By the way, which of the three do you guys like? Do you guys see all three of them?
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
I liked the one that you liked, the singular, the second one that he sent out that wasn't paired in the two.
Yeah, the first one. So the first two that put out, that first one, it looks too much like the Sedano Show font. Agreed. So like I see that, and so I'm like, no, because all I see is Sedano's head next to it, and I'm trying to picture your... It would just be the same picture, just without the hair, to be honest with you.
Yep.
That second one reminds me of like the 90s SportsCenter ESPN logo. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just kind of like... I don't know. I don't like that one either. Let me look here.
But yeah, the Mason Comic Sans one is very good.
Which one?
The Sunset, the one Mason made, the Sunset with the Comic Sans.
You know what, though?
Mason has saved the company a ton of money because his artwork is as good as anybody in.
You want to know what that artwork looks like? 100%. That looks like if it was a 90s alternative CD cover.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a good one. Wasn't Baywatch something like that, too?
Probably.
Does it make you think of something along those lines?
Yeah, and that's what's his name? That's David Hasselhoff. That's not a boat. That's David Hasselhoff on the surfboard in the picture.
This guy Rudy Heredia put out the Sliwa Show, and it has the logo that I use. My formal picture with the sun rays in the around the circle. People are creative, man.
I don't know what those sun rays are. Like, where did he get that?
Sunset, and I think he just literally scribbled it in.
Yeah, at least make the backdrop like yellow or something, because like that, it looks really weird.
Okay, so out of all of them, not gonna lie, I kind of like the Sliwa Show one, that
the black and white one,
the same one that you guys said. I agree. By the way, I agree with you with. You know, it's easy to – you have all these different shows. The logos are going to – the theme is typically going to be somewhat the same because ESPN wants some consistency. I agree that this one is different than some of the other ones. And I looked at the Sedano one as well. Like, okay, let's make sure that doesn't look like that. I think this one is the cleanest one.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, I mean, those ones that Mason made, you can definitely put those on those shirt – on a t-shirt, and I would wear it.
Listen, Mason is – You said it best. Curtis. He's got some skin in the game in this one. He's got some skin.
Show is his brainchild. The Sliwa After Dark, After Sunset moniker. It's all him.
He plays the Chinatown music to get things started. So this is. I have a 5% stake in the show. Mason's 95%. 95% for Mason.
95%. That's not bad.
What do you got for halftime?
All right, so you guys know I love going to Disneyland. Obviously, I haven't been in a long time, but what I'm also am is a big theme park nerd. I love going to Six Flags, Universal Studios, Knott's Berry Farm. I love all those places. And one of the things I really miss, and it's kind of really getting to me, is just getting on roller coasters.
Hmm. So often, like you
as
you
much as I can. I try. It's really hard, especially like for Disneyland. I love going there, but like a lot of my favorite rides are the most popular ones. So if I'm going, unless I go early or if I plan to be there for the full day, I might get on. I'll get on all of them. But if I'm going there for a couple of hours, I might get on one, just depending on like the lines and all that. But I'll go there even if it's just to walk around. I mean, there were times where I was there with my niece and her boyfriend, and I was still in school at that point, and I remember I had a take-home final, but they wanted to go to Disney, and I was like, let's go, I'll take you. We go to the park. I'm like, you guys go, do whatever rides you want. I'm going to be in the restaurant. I'm working on my final. So I'm legit working on my final at one of the restaurants at Disney, at California Adventure specifically.
That's awesome.
So I love doing that, but I love, going on the rides, at Disneyland specifically, is Space Mountain, which is my favorite roller coaster, Big Thunder Mountain, Matterhorn, and then you just go, just going down the five, how many roller coasters are there? Because you have Six Flags all the way, up north with all the roller coasters that they have there, and then you just keep going down, then you have Knott's and Disneyland all across. That's just the five, and you're not even talking about Universal Studios.
So I was never... Growing up, I was never a roller coaster guy. Okay, never a roller coaster guy. Hated the feeling. Hated that, like, that you know, when you go down to, you know,
no, street, I get
whatever
you.
It is, right? Like,
I was the just, same way growing up. I hated
it was
them.
Just, it was just never for me. And then I went on for, like, let's say a year or so. I went on this streak where I was just trying out things that, I mean, you want to talk about getting out of your comfort zone. It's like those kind of things, those kind of thrills or whatever. At Six Flags, what's that one, Tatsu? Is that what it's called?
So Tatsu is the one where you're on your stomach.
Yes, yes.
Tatsu. That ride is awesome. I love that ride.
Okay, what's the other one? This is actually arguably the scariest ride I've ever been on, and it doesn't sound like it'd be scary at all. It's at Magic Mountain.
Okay.
Which is the one that just, like, it kind of just spins back and forth, and then it just starts going left to right. It just kind of sways higher and higher, left
Oh, like
to right.
a, like a pendulum?
Yes. What is so, that yeah, one called? That, you know what I'm talking about?
That's a relatively new ride. They actually just came out yes. with that. It's called Crazanity or something like that.
I think you're 100% right. Have you ever been on it?
I haven't been on that one specifically, but I have been on other rides like that. I won't do this. I'm not a big fan of certain type of rides, like Superman, the ride.
Yeah, it's Crazanity.
Yeah, the Superman, the ride. I've been on it once. That's all I need to go. I don't need to go on it again. Make fun of me all you want. I don't care. I did it once, and that's all I do. I try everything at least once.
Can I
Lex with the Drop of Doom did it once. That's all. I'm good.
Can I tell you something, Crazanity? That was arguably like the scariest 2 minutes or however long it was.
It was probably like 45 seconds.
Listen, I don't know what it is. It doesn't – like when you're watching and you're not on it, you're like, oh, this is no big deal. And then you get on the freaking ride, and the way – you know how your legs kind of dangle? You know what I'm talking about, where your legs dangle? You just sit in the seat and your legs are dangling. The way they have like the top of the roof below you looks like every time you're going – I'm like, my feet are going to clip that roof. Everybody's thinking that in their mind, right? And you obviously have the right amount of space. But it is so – freaking scary, that simple ride, Crazanity. That's the scariest ride I think I've ever been on, and that's not like a real roller coaster. It's something a little bit different. Curtis, are you a roller coaster guy or no?
I'm gonna tell you guys a little secret just between us.
Okay,
I hate heights. That's really something that really messes with me. The looking down. So I was never a roller coaster person.
Would you do it? Like, is that a fear you want to get over? Like, if you went, like, today or when everything gets back open again, would you do it now where maybe you wouldn't do it when you were younger? Because I wasn't doing it when I was younger, but then I was like, all right, just give this thing a try. You have 9-year-olds walking with you. Just go on this ride. And I did do it. And, you know, don't get me wrong. A lot of them are – they're an incredible thrill, but you actually walk away like, damn, I'm so happy I did that.
No, not really.
No.
Like, I'm not saying I've never been on them, but yeah. I've tried it and it's like, no, I'm good. I hate that feeling. Like when you were explaining what you were feeling going on that ride, I was getting chills and like not the good kind. I was like, oh no, I'm good. But like Disneyland,
it was awful.
Disneyland, everything's cool there because everything's themed. You're almost not thinking about all the other stuff, you know? And when I used to work there, I used to go there a lot. So Disneyland and all that's cool, but I'm good. I live like 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from Six Flags, essentially. I'm good.
Oh, just go one time. Go one time.
We should find a way to get Curtis on just one roller coaster at Six Flags. Just one.
Curtis, we're going to work on it. You don't have to do anything right now. We don't want you to get tense right now, but that'd be great to work on. By the way, Curtis, you know what you would hate? Do you know one thing I did a year and a half ago? I think it was about a year and a half ago. I went skydiving.
No, I'm out.
Jess, you ever gone?
No, but I've been intrigued to do it, but I don't know how I would feel that second I'm up there and they're just like jump.
Fellas, let me tell you something.
No, we're like I even hate flying, like because it's the same thing. You look out the window, it's like, no, I'm good.
Jesse or Curtis doesn't like going up the stairs from the parking garage.
No, that's
doesn't
fine.
Want to go up those stairs.
But when I had to fly to Bristol when I got hired here, I did not like the flights going in and out.
You can easily get in your own head when you're flying. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there are times definitely where I'm flying where there's just a little bit of turbulence and you're like, that's it. It's over.
But like,
you know,
the person like, had the window open next to me and I was like, I'm not looking over there. I'm not going to look out there. I don't care. I don't care that we're in a standstill right now, 30 minutes in the air. I'm not going to look out. I'm not going to look out there.
I want to say this real quick, this quick little story. So first of all, we're in the middle of a quarantine and there's no sports right now. So it's okay to go away from sports for a little bit. Jess, you know how you just said you'd be scared of the part where you're walking up to the plane, you know, walking up to the edge of the plane to go, yeah, to go skydiving. Okay. Let me just tell the story real quick. All right. So this is a year and a half ago, something along those lines. There's a place east of San Diego. There's an area called East Lake. And I had no idea that they even do this. Was that East Lake or was it Jamul? Maybe it was Jamul, whatever it was. I think it was actually Jamul. There's an area where there's skydiving. And I had no idea this even existed. So it was just a personal thing. It was one of those things where I just wanted to try it. And for some reason, this is something I wanted to kind of check off the list. So I did it. That's exactly what I did. So I sign up for it and I go out there. I go out there on a Saturday and I'm basically signing up to fly at 8:30. 8:30 in the morning, you're going to go, you do a quick little half hour training, whatever the case is. And then you're done. You get in the plane, hop on there. You strapped on to, you know, a professional and you jump off the plane. So I get there at 8:30. What do you think happens at 8:30?
The plane gets delayed.
They say weather, too cloudy. It's delayed for a couple hours. I'm like, no, guys, I don't think you understand. Mentally, I'm prepared for 8:30. I'm not prepared for 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like just that, now that there's this extra anticipation, okay? Come back at 1, we're canceled today because of the weather. It's a Saturday down in San Diego. I got to come back up on Sunday to go, you know, come back to work. I sign up for Sunday. Sunday, I get there in the morning. So I have to think all day about like thinking twice, should I actually be doing this or should I not? Sunday, I go and get all started. Weather is good. Get all your gear on. They show you, okay, guys, this is what you're going to do. Make sure when you get close, you know, you're sitting right next to the person that you're going to be jumping off with. And then this is the idea. They show you all the steps. You're waiting for all these other people to go. People go on the plane. They come back. Finally, it's time to get on the actual plane. All right? Think about that. Like now you're actually walking to the plane. You know what the plane looks like? It looks like one of those 1970 drug running planes that's going back and forth, those single engines going back and forth between Colombia and I don't know what other country.
It was one of Pablo Escobar's planes.
It didn't feel safe. Let's just say that. So I get in the plane. I'm sitting there on the plane. There's about 12 people total, and you're all paired. You're all paired with everybody that you're with. So I'm sorry. There's like 12 jumpers total. So I would be a jumper even though I'm with somebody. That's one person you can say. So I'm sitting with the person that I'm paired with, and you start going up, and this guy has this watch on his wrist. And I asked him, I said, what is that? And he said, oh, this is our elevation. This is where we are. Once we get to 13,000 feet elevation, that's when we start jumping. I'm looking at his watch. He's at like 6,000. He's at 8,000. He's at 11,000. In my head, I'm like, what the hell are you about to do? Next thing you know, they start just like a garage, you know how it rolls up or whatever. That's the door that you jump off of and that, you know, the wind is coming in. They start that part where the garage comes up. And now you have the first jumpers, they're gone. I'm like sixth or seventh on the list. Second jumper, they're gone. Your mind is now completely confused. It's like, did you think this through? Do you know what you're doing? And the answer is you don't. Third jumper goes fourth, fifth. There's one person in front of me and I'm just standing there and I just have like, there's such a rush. You have absolutely no idea. Like what your body doesn't know what to feel. Next person goes, I'm the next one with my guy. I start, Jesse, like you said, walking up to the absolute edge of the plane. And as I'm sitting there saying to myself, Al, I don't know. I mean, should you, this dude just boom,
oh,
just
no.
Just jumps us off. Like I didn't have a countdown. I didn't have anything. Next thing you know, it was like just this rush, this incredible, like the wind is so powerful. You can't really even see in that area of San Diego too. You can, you know, see you're looking over the border. So you see Mexico over there. You know, it's just absolute crazy for those 12 seconds or so, or I'm sorry, those 30 seconds where you're in a complete free fall. And then right after that parachute comes up and slowly you start coming down. And the best feeling was when you set foot back on the ground and you're saying to yourself, holy crap, I've never been so happy to touch land again in my life.
Oh, man. Curtis, see, if it's something like that, I would do it. If someone pushes me or, like, there was no countdown, or someone's just like, well, we're going, and just like that, I think I'd be okay. But if any other way, I just don't know how I would react.
Bro, it was insane. Let's do this. Let's go to break real quick. Curtis, I know you still got yours. Let's do that when we come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, so we got some breaking news here. I'm going to read off a tweet from Jay Glazer. First active NFL player to test positive for the coronavirus, Rams center Brian Allen. So we have we know of the NBA players that have tested positive. Rudy Gobert testing positive is really what kind of triggered this whole thing from a sports perspective. A lot of the leagues paused from there. The first NFL player to test positive is a Ram, Los Angeles Rams center Brian Allen. So something to keep in mind there. And look, we've spent a lot of time talking about figuring out ways to get sports back. We spent a lot of time talking about how great would it be to be in a position that hopefully sooner than later down the road, we are talking Los Angeles Lakers basketball again. We're talking about the Dodgers. We're talking about Rams and Chargers, when they're going to play and so forth, USC, UCLA. The reality is this, you know, this is still one of those situations where it's so fluid. You know, we're still losing a lot of lives in this country right now. As we are hoping to, as they keep saying, flatten the curve, Dr. Fauci, that's a term that he uses, the White House, it's a term everybody uses, flattening the curve. It's still an incredibly, incredibly dangerous situation. And I've said this and I'll say it again. It brings it more to light when it's somebody that you know or it's a player that you watch. And, you know, under these circumstances, it's Rams center Brian Allen. You know, I had some notes a little bit earlier today when we were talking about we were hitting on all the different – I started with Dr. Fauci and I put it on here that – a member of the Chargers tested positive for the coronavirus, and two others have shown symptoms, but neither have tested positive. Here's the biggest risk sports face as we try to figure out what to do moving forward. The biggest risk they face is coming back too early. And I have a feeling that each one of these leagues knows they have to be so cautious in when they determine you can't feel the pressure. And I know there's pressure right now in a lot of these leagues. Think about the pressure. I'm just going to use as an example. And we're still working on we're going to have somebody come on soon that's going to explain everything from a business perspective. Because the pressure is this. The pressure is all these leagues were printing money. All these teams were essentially printing money. And then everything just stopped. And not only did the revenue stop, not only did that the incredible profits stop, there is absolutely no question of when they're going to restart again. So I'm sure there's pressure from NFL owners out there, NBA owners out there, Major League Baseball as a whole, to do everything they can to get the season going again. And a lot of that has to do with these are businesses. And the worst thing that can happen is if you come back too early. That's the biggest risk. By the way, that's also the biggest risk our country faces. There's going to be some major decisions made. Right now, the economy is virtually closed. Nobody's at work. Everybody's told to stay at home. Restaurants, bars, movie theaters, amusement parks like we were talking about. Everybody is closed unless you're an essential business. So there is pressure on everybody to get back to work. The risk is you come back too early. That's the biggest risk. Because I'll use football as an example. I could use the NBA as an example. I could use Major League Baseball. We'll actually use baseball and basketball as an example because football, they haven't even had their NFL draft yet. That's a week from tomorrow. if you came back too early in the NBA, if I sit here today and we're having all these conversations a month from now saying, hey, you know what? June, basketball is back. They got the idea. They're going to quarantine everybody in Vegas. All the teams are going to be there. This is going to be great. Nobody's going to get it because they're going to continue to test. If somebody tested positive or things slipped through the cracks, I don't know if you're going to get that season back. And by the way, you don't know how many people could be infected by the time you figure that out. So a lot of this stuff that we are watching on a day-to-day basis and we're trying to get answers to as best as we can, it's fluid. It's always going to be fluid. Nothing's going to change on that front until we come up with some type of a vaccine. But it puts things in perspective again. Jay Glazer, first active NFL player to test positive for the coronavirus, Rams center Brian Allen. It puts things into perspective when it's a NFL player, it's a sports player, somebody you know, a team that you root for. It does put it into perspective. But that's going to be the biggest question, is when these sports do come back, that did they come back too early? Did they rush through it too much? Were they under so much pressure financially and publicly? I'll use public as an example because that's somebody like me that is on the radio every single night and keeps reporting, well, I don't know if we're going to get sports back, or, hey, I'm optimistic today because Dr. Fauci said this, or I'm pessimistic tomorrow because Brian Windhorst said this about the Chinese Basketball Association. So a lot of factors obviously come into play with this, but that's some breaking news right there. So we'll keep you guys posted if we hear anything else. What does that mean? That means he's going to obviously be in a recovery process eventually. When he starts feeling better, he'd go into that quarantine process. What is it, 14 days that you have to be on your own. So keep you posted on that story right there. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Dave Denholm, who's the play-by-play voice of the LAFC, he's going to join the Sliwa Show coming up next. MLS is playing to postpone matches at least through June 8th. I want to get his thoughts on what he thinks that Major League Soccer will do. We spent a lot of time talking about the other leagues, so we'll talk MLS and we'll talk about some of the European leagues as well. When we come back, stay right here. Dave Denholm, play-by-play voice of LAFC, next on the Sliwa Show. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Dave Denholm, play-by-play voice of LAFC, joins the Sliwa Show right now. Dave, first of all, thanks for coming on. And second, how are you doing? Just in general, how are things going in your world?
Alan, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure, buddy. Appreciate it. Bunkered up in lockdown mode. Not really going out too much, to be honest. So, doing well. My wife's still working from home, and so I'm taking care of the 17-month-old pretty much full time. So, yeah, busy, but enjoying it, I guess, as much as you can, really.
Well, I know there's a lot going on in the soccer world. It's interesting, Dave, because, you know, as you know, you spend a lot of time talking about the NBA. We spend a lot of time talking about Major League Baseball. And, of course, here locally, you're talking about the Lakers. You're talking about the Dodgers. LAFC, obviously, a big piece of LA. And it's pretty amazing how quick they became a big piece. But MLS planning to postpone matches at least through June 8th. Any idea of how they would try to complete a season if and when they do start again? Any, just maybe your thoughts. We've thrown out ideas for all the leagues. I'd love to get your thoughts on what Major League Soccer is doing.
Yeah, first, Alan, I think it certainly will be I shouldn't say certainly. I don't know for sure, but I would think it's going to be played in empty stadiums at least to start, for sure, I would think. If they're going to do a June 8th or that week, and then June 8th is a Monday, I believe, so it might well you know, be later that week where they start playing. I would think it'd be behind closed doors, no fans. So that would be the first thing. And secondly, you know, they keep talking about a 34-game schedule. Now, they've only played two matches to start the season before it was postponed, obviously, with all the COVID-19 stuff. So they're only two games deep into a 34-game season where usually they're essentially playing one match a week, maybe occasionally they'll have a Wednesday-Sunday week. So that's a lot of games to squeeze in if they want to play 34 regular season starting even June 8th. I got to believe that they're probably have to be looking at an abridged schedule. Now, that might be 26 games, maybe 30 if they want to jam in a lot of games, you know, because you're still losing revenue right now if you don't play all of your matches. So, and they don't, you know, as most people know, MLS doesn't have the huge television contract like these other sports do either. So they're losing a lot of revenue at the gate anyway. But yeah, I don't know how many matches, Alan, I think it would probably look like somewhere in the 24 to 30 range before a postseason. The good news is for MLS is that last season they moved to a playoffs that was just one game and done. Mm-hmm. In other words, you lose, you go home. So that has already been established. So that won't be some major shock, which I think they'd have to do. It's not like there's best of threes or anything like that, or series. So they, you know, they're going to have to push back the ending. The final game was set for right around November 10th. So if you start on early June, yeah, you're going to have to push that final back probably into, you know, maybe past Thanksgiving too.
Dave, is one of the, I don't know if luxury is the right word, but baseball, you're playing 6 days a week. Basketball, most of the time you're playing 3 to 4 times a week. And I know that some of that changes come postseason. Just based upon how soccer is played, specifically the MLS, is it primarily one game a week? And in a shortened season, do you think there's the ability to try and cram a few more games in on a weekly basis? Maybe not every week, but, you know, just they have that flexibility.
Yeah, Alan, right now, most of the time, it's one game on the weekends when you're talking about a 34-game schedule over the course of several months. But obviously, abbreviated like this might be, you know, they do sometimes have the Wednesday and weekend games anyway. Taking a look at it, I think you would have to really jam in a lot of games. I just don't understand why people think you have to play an entire schedule anyway. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, it wouldn't be fair if everybody doesn't play everybody else. Who cares? This is a once-in-a-lifetime circumstance. The leagues are going to try to do the best they can to make it competitive and keep it as fair as possible. But let's be realistic. If LAFC doesn't happen to play another team this year because of COVID-19, are we really going to be that upset that, ooh, it wasn't a true champion? I don't think so. You know, we all just have to kind of accommodate what's going to happen here for the future, and, you know, certainly the rest of this year and maybe into 2021.
Yeah, listen, the circumstances, I think if anybody is out there, and I don't know if there is a lot of people that are complaining about, well, no, you can't get it done this way or you shouldn't do it that way. Here's the reality. Nobody has control over anything. If I think we're all fortunate to just have games in 2020, and that's without an audience. I'm talking about, you know, fans being at a game.
Yeah.
That's just the predicament we're in. You know, of course it's not ideal, but you have to adjust too. And, you know, I'm sure MLS is just like all these other sports. They're going to do everything they can to try and play out the year if they feel it's safe and if they have the ability to do it. I don't know. I thought you'd be the perfect person to ask about this. So did you see Cincinnati discontinued men's soccer in long-term interests of the athletic department? That's what one of the headlines was.
Yeah, it had soccer to do with COVID-19 or anything like that. Yeah, correct.
I was going to say, so that had operated losses. They mentioned 725,000, something along those lines. U.S. Soccer to permanently close entire development academy. I guess that's a question I was going to ask. Does this have anything to do with COVID-19, or you think these were excuses for both Cincinnati and the U.S. Soccer to close down both of these, or you think they're tied together?
No, I don't think they have anything to do with COVID-19, frankly. I think certain soccer programs thrive at the college level. Obviously, USC comes to mind, UCLA, you know, national champions, USC's women's program, UCLA has been fantastic. So, you know, there's certainly hotbeds for college soccer, all of California. But, you know, sometimes when you get into other parts of the country, for instance, the SEC and everything, you know, it's not a hotbed for college soccer. That's crept up into Cincinnati. I think their expenses are a little bit high because, you know, when you play in the conferences, you are traveling a lot. It's not a revenue generating sport. There's no doubt about that. It's for certain colleges make a fortune at college soccer. That's just the way it is. So yeah, I don't blame that on COVID-19 for UC. For the Development Academy, no, that's a long standing issue with U.S. soccer. That goes down to, Alan, just the country, as we know, is huge, right? Mm-hmm. Geographically, we're just really spread out. We have a lot of kids playing soccer, and some kids are going to fall through the cracks. They tried their best with the Development Academy to send the best of the best there to all work together. But with MLS doing what they're doing now with academies, I don't think it's really necessary, to be honest. So I think it was a cost-cutting move. It's not the best reason to do something like that, but in the long run, I don't think it's going to be as huge a deal as some people are talking. Because, you know, for instance, LA Galaxy, LAFC, two incredible academies right now for the, you know, the age groups from, you know, U10 all the way up to under 18s and under 20s. So they're doing great. You know, just the only two academies, certainly in Southern California, that are thriving. And the rest of MLS, a lot of teams are doing well with their academies. So you're finding the talent anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think the Development Academy was a bad idea by any means. I thought it, you know, did a good job identifying a lot of great young talent. But I think the MLS sides are now doing that on their own by and large.
Dave Denholm, play-by-play voice of LAFC, joins us, Sliwa Show. Dave, what's the temperature of restarting some of the big leagues? Just when we start looking to Europe, the English Premier, yeah. La Liga, what's not just what's the latest, but what if you have kind of a little bit more of a grasp of what's going on in those big-time leagues?
Well, for sports fans who are getting stir-crazy, as I know we probably all are, the good news is the Bundesliga in Germany is actually planning on kicking off in May for their season to pick back up. Of course, as you know, soccer fans know, European seasons are a little different than MLS, so their seasons are more like basketball in a sense, like August to May kind of seasons. So they were almost done. Well, not almost done, but you know, they were on the back end of their seasons. And now they're trying to finish. So it is a little bit different. You know, MLS just got started, as we talked about, just two games into their campaign. These other leagues, you know, Liverpool is running away with the Premiership. What do you do with that? You know, they're not done, technically. They're not officially the champions. But how do you finish that before the next season starts then, Al? You know, so I applaud the Bundesliga because Germany's done a pretty good job, it seems, with, you know, taking it slow, even with COVID-19, all the issues. But they have done a good job. And they're going to slowly reopen it without fans in May. I don't know. It may even be later May. But so first, the Premiership has not made a decision on that. La Liga, of course, with Spain being hit, part of that country is hit. I don't even know if they're really thinking that much about it, at least publicly. They're probably thinking about it, but I don't know how, you know, where they're going to start. Nobody else has made that decision other than the Bundesliga. And as I'm sure you know, and so many sports fans know, the Belarusian top flight is the only league in the world that's still playing in Belarus. So they kept going. They did not even slow down. They didn't even shut down, frankly. So they're the only league that just kept going and playing. So, but that's it. You know, I mean, it's still kind of, well, I won't even say kind of, it's really up in the air for virtually every soccer league, much like every other sport.
Dave, I'll ask you a final question here. Did you hear Sepp Blatter's comments? That's a former FIFA president on USA.
Yes.
Potentially capable of hosting was it 2022 World Cup?
Yes, the one in Qatar due to some possibilities of some irregularities with how Qatar got awarded that. You know, there's been the bribery scandals that have rocked for some time, you know, in soccer. It's an ugly business sometimes,
sure.
No doubt about that. They're trying to stand up. You know, Sepp Blatter, of course, no longer the president of FIFA, but still obviously a very powerful figure in the sport. For him to say that, I mean, you know, I think, Alan, the world of is to cater to us here in America by telling us things we like here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, America's really, you know, they like to kind of pat us on the head because they know there are so many soccer fans here that love the sport internationally, love the sport, you know, love the Premiership, love MLS, love Bundesliga, lovely. So we are a big soccer community, but we kind of are always like the second class citizen, you know, just, oh, get to the back of the line, but we love you, you know, we still want your money. So I think instead of that, sometimes in interviews where people say stuff to be nice and be polite to America, I don't think there's a whole lot to it, only because we've already been given the 2026
sure.
World Cup, right? So
sure.
I can't imagine the world at large would even want us to host. They would want to give us two in a row, that's for sure.
Dave, great stuff, man. I thought here we are kind of on a day-to-day basis talking about all these sports. MLS had some news out today that they're going to postpone matches through at least June 8th. So what better way What better person to have on to kind of give us some insight? So I appreciate you doing this.
Alan, I hope you have me back on when they say, hey, June 10th, here we go. All right? Let's hope that's the case.
All right. That's Dave Denholm right there. Great stuff. Always great insight from a soccer perspective. Lakers, by the way, just won. 2010. Game just ended. Lakers beat the Celtics. Game 7. We got it, guys. It's in the books now. It's wrapped up. Today's a very special day. Many people know why it's a very special day, and it's Jackie Robinson Day for those who are unaware, or if you are aware, we have some fantastic Vin Scully on Jackie Robinson. This comes from a few years ago. Some great stories, describes what the number 42 means. We'll do all that coming up next as we wrap up the Sliwa Show. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, quick reminder, tomorrow starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ, Sedano after that, Will Kane, Mason in Ireland, and then back to the Sliwa Show tomorrow till 9 o'clock. Same thing on Friday. Of course, we are greatly, greatly appreciative to Stay Local through all this stuff that's been going on for the last month plus, and we'll see how much longer it goes. But it's been fantastic to have an opportunity to do shows. Here's a great example. So tonight we're doing a live show. Jackie Robinson Day, and there are, I think the best thing that we could do is just tell stories that we hear, not even tell stories, listen to stories about Jackie Robinson. There's a website, JackieRobinson.com/quotes, and I literally was just going on the website. I'm going to read off a couple quotes from Jackie Robinson. He says, I'm not concerned with your liking or disliking me. All I ask is that you respect me as a human being. One of the great days of baseball is Jackie Robinson Day. Everybody wears his number. There's an incredible amount of respect for just what he accomplished in baseball, being the first African-American in Major League Baseball. And just think about all the different things that not only he had to go through, but other African-Americans had to go through and kind of pave the way, I guess you could say. Jess, you have a clip, and this is coming from Dodgers' Twitter page. Is that what you said?
So it's coming from the Dodgers' YouTube channel. They posted it today. They posted a bunch of stuff on Jackie Robinson today, and this is a clip from a couple years ago. I couldn't really pinpoint the exact year, but celebrating on Jackie Robinson Day, I guess they posted up a picture of Vin Scully, and a very young Vin Scully, with ice skates, and he was next to Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. And he kind of goes and tells a story about how it was one day they were both kind of out, I think somewhere on the East Coast, and Vin Scully takes out, or he wanted to go ice skating, and Jackie Robinson overheard. He's like, yeah, all right, let's go. And then at the same time, his 7-month-old wife, Jackie's wife, said, I'm all in too. So they kind of all go on roller skates, and Vin Scully just kind of tells a story about that day when they all go ice skating.
Let's hit that, Curtis.
So Jackie and I go into the dressing room. We're putting on the skates, my big long racer blades, really hot dog stuff back then. And as we're lacing things up, Jack said, when we get out there, I'll race you. I said, whoa, Jack. I said, you're from Southern California. I know you're a great athlete, but I didn't know you ice skated. And he said, I've never been on skates in my life. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, I'm not a great skater, but I can certainly beat someone who's never been on skates in his life. And Jackie got very serious and said, yes, but that's how I'll learn. The competitive spirit would drive him to learn. Meanwhile, talking about competitive spirit, my heart was in my mouth, not because of Jackie, but I look out on the ice, and here she comes, Rachel, 7 or 8 months pregnant, and the whole place is terrified except her. She is absolutely having a wonderful time.
You know, there's certain voices, and L.A. is blessed to have these legends, Vin Scully, Bob Miller, of course, the great Chick Hearn. And every time you hear their voice, I'm sure for, all of LA and for Dodger fans out there, it's the most soothing voice. But when he tells the story, I know this is about Jackie Robinson, and I'll go right back to Jackie in just a second. But, man, when Vince Scully tells a story, you just drop on a dime and you just listen. He's one of the best at telling stories. This is also Vince Scully describing what the number 42 means.
It doesn't mean that they're all equal, not in the respect. Some are taller than others. Some are heavier than others. Some are left-handed. Some are right-handed. But the one thing they share in carrying number 42 is the fact that the man who wore it gave them the one thing that no one at the time could ever have done. He gave them equality, and he gave them opportunity. Those were the two things that many of those people never had to hold to their hearts when they first began to play. So yes, 42 is a great number. It means a lot for a great man, but it is a tremendous number when you think of the man who wore it with such dignity, with such pride, and with such great discipline.
All right, that's Vince Scully doing what he's done for so many years, just describing the perfect way to describe Jackie Robinson and what that number means. I got another quote I want to read off here real quick. This is from Jackie Robinson. Life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. How powerful is that, fellas? I sent you guys a similar link. Jess, you got a quote that stands out, all those Jackie Robinson quotes?
So the one that stands out to my eye is this one. Life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives.
Hmm. Curtis, what do you got over there?
This kind of reflects what we just heard Vin talk about. It's real short. The above anything else, I hate to lose.
Hmm. That's a good one, too.
By the way, in the background, too, you know, I mentioned that I had the Lakers-Celtics game on, and Kobe's on in the background. I mean, these are the competitors of the competitors. You know, it doesn't get any better from an athlete perspective. But for Jackie Robinson and Jackie Robinson Day, it's great to kind of go back. It's not like, you know, myself, Curtis, or Jesse, it's not like any of us have had, you know, an opportunity to say, oh, you know, when we watch this player, that player in those eras. But what we can do is learn from some of those players. Okay, we got a couple clips. What is it from? This is Jackie Robinson, 1995 World Series highlights. Here's Jackie Robinson stealing home plate.
With pinch batter Frank Kellard at bat, Robinson dashes to the plate. It's close, and umpire Summers calls him safe on the daring maneuver. But Yogi Berra doesn't think so. And the fans will never forget the sight of Jackie Robinson hurrying for the plate on his daring steal.
All right, that's Jackie Robinson stealing home plate. Here's Jackie Robinson, stretches a double into a triple, scores on the next at-bat.
Jackie Robinson smashes a double to left field and races on to third when he decoys Howard into making a throw behind to second base. Amra singles and Robinson pops across the plate.
All right, so that is those are some highlights from Jackie Robinson. Doesn't get any cooler than that. On a day, this is kind of the least that we can do is pay our respect to one of the greatest, and obviously somebody that it was much more than just baseball that he represented and that he stood for. As always, we appreciate you guys tuning in. If you missed any of the show, the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So that's where all the shows are for now. So if you want to catch any of the shows, you can feel free to do it there. Follow me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. Appreciate everybody that tuned into the show. Don't forget tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. And Sliwa's show starts at 6:30. LA, have a great rest of your night.